The souls in purgatory are revealed to a mystic in the amazing book, The Secrets of Purgatory, the most precious gift that we have. And if you understand this and use it as best as possible, not only will your life be transformed, but your entire eternity. At the end of this video, I will give you 7 different ways to use this gift even better. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. The poor souls in purgatory, oh, when I look at them and search out their sufferings and remorse, theirs is an indescribable sorrow for every wasted minute. They would like to call back each one in order to use it for God. Now they hunger for those graces which they should have utilized on earth. I see so clearly how deep their contrition is when they realize how much time they have squandered. The emptiness which they experience in their souls as a result makes them hunger so much that they stretch out their tongues, so to speak, in order to receive spiritual nourishment. When the sorrow has penetrated them, then the good God comes and brings them his holy blood and his eternity in order to fill up their emptiness and to expiate with his holy sufferings and blood that which they have repented of so deeply. While we are alive, we do not think seriously enough about time. God, however, judges very strictly the use we have made of our time here on earth, especially if we are called to a higher vocation, if we are religious and priests, the servants and handmaids of the Lord. Many poor souls prayed and begged me to go and tell the world and tell them they are of purgatory so that they may not live in blindness. So I'm writing these words to the best of my ability, impelled, as it were, by the poor souls themselves. Yes, time is most important for religious. There are so many useless things in life. The time spent in their enjoyment makes deep gashes on our soul, which must be healed over by suffering in purgatory. We are not given to dispose of our time rashly. God has given it to us for fulfillment of his holy designs. He gave it to us as if it were a vessel with the words, "With this, go and draw from the well of eternal life, and then come back to me, bringing a full vessel." Then Jesus will drink from this vessel, and in gratitude will let the soul into the eternity of everlasting life, where it is carried along in the currents of infinity. Life must be filled with holy resolves. One should do nothing which is not inspired by holy motives. One can give value to most insignificant and seemingly useless actions by good intention. How many worthless acts belong to our ordinary rules of etiquette and politeness? How much that it is useless to vocation and duty? But we must perform such acts of courtesy, lest we appear strange to our fellow men. Such time, however, is also to be considered holy, because even worthless actions can gain some value when we do them out of love for God. Many, considering the terrestrial rather than God alone, excuse themselves too easily when they use up a large part of time on external activities, which could be abbreviated or even dropped entirely. Whoever loves the world and its ideals gets along well in it. He who loves not the world, to whom everything earthly is a cross, reduces his attachments to it down to a minimum. O God, make me weigh time seriously. We who live for so short a time, how should we direct and use time? We should be as a businessman who looks after his affairs, eliminating what is unprofitable, making everything a gain. Every moment during which we live without supernatural motive is rueful waste. We fail to utilize the beautiful way of grace. Man can gain something for God out of everything, even from earthly things. God himself has strewn the path of life with eternal treasures. He has placed hidden treasures in every good act and thought. We should not forget to make a good intention in everything and to do all with a supernatural motive. Jesus is very pleased when we make a good use of our time, when we do not dispose of it so thoughtlessly. Time is not something all our own. It belongs to him. He has numbered the seconds of our life and knows what is to be gained from them. He has ordained a holy purpose, a duty, a plan for every moment of our lives, and we must fulfill all of these intentions of His. We must give an account of every minute. His intention should be ours. We should not bring back to Him uncompleted anything which He has designed for fulfillment. The great Almighty God is Lord over the seconds of our life, Lord over our precious time. He is Master, a good Master. We must obey Him and use our time as He wishes. I see in purgatory many, many religious who have gaps in their souls caused by their frequent and worthless conversations with men. For by their friendly, worldly intercourse, they have lost the customary decorum of cloistral retirement. They have not understood that visits and friendships should be granted only at such a time as does not conflict with their obligations as religious. Oh, I find so much worldliness there, in those souls, and this worldliness means nothing for eternity. How many have engaged themselves hour after hour for the world when they could have easily abbreviated such contacts? How many hours they could have saved for internal prayer and silent visits to the tabernacle? How many such precious hours were jested away and thus lost for God and for eternity? How many minutes they could have saved for our Eucharistic Savior if the soul had had a true hunger to perform its duties for the love of God alone? How good God is to permit souls to wipe away such stains in purgatory. Purgatory is therefore a temporary suffering. The souls suffer because of time lost. They long inexplicably for God, for purity, for correction. But they are all happy because they know they are in a place of improvement where there is no reason to despair. Their suffering is a hope, a trust, an aspiration, a conversion. God has not given us time in order that we may play with it and do with it as we please. Time is a vessel with which we must draw from the well of life everlasting. Whoever does not bring it back full is made to feel the questioning glance of the Lord, who says, "What hast thou done with those treasures of grace? I have commanded thee to bring this vessel back to me full. Thou hast gone thy own ways, hast forgotten the command of thy God, hast even broken the beautiful holy vessel. And what dost thou now bring back?" Then the soul sinks down before God. It now lies before the everlasting judge. If you consider it, time is more precious than everything we have, because if you had all the spiritual gifts on earth and you did not have time, you could not exercise it. Time is the very fabric that allows you to do anything. That's why it's the most precious gift. Now, seven different ways for you to improve. First, we can learn from the saints, and they considered the most important way that they could spend their time was in prayer. There is no other way around it. When you look at saints and you read the lives of saints, they give a lot of detail. They spent incredible amounts of time in prayer. And we should see that if we have a day where we have lots of activities, but we didn't pray, and we have a day that you didn't do anything, but you did pray, the day where you did pray is worth more than the day that you didn't. Be convinced of how important prayer is. We must also learn from monks and religious who order their time. You're never going to use your time as efficiently unless you organize it in the way that they do. That's exactly what the monks taught us hundreds and even thousands of years ago, where they set up their day that it's regular. Their entire week is just repeated one after another. Set it and forget it. Personal example from my life. So we have our 9 p.m. Central Standard Time rosary. I set it there, and so I know it's going to happen each and every single day. Nothing is going to interrupt it because it's right there. Give yourself some sort of rule of life, some sort of ordered schedule of how you use your time, especially when it comes to prayer. We must also learn from the businessman who is greedy for money and therefore have the expression, time is money. Well, we should think of it, time is merit. Merit, that eternal reward that we have in heaven, how we have given glory to God and helped other people. See in every moment and always ask yourself the question, how could I use this moment better? How could I use this moment to gain more merit, more glory for God, and conversion of other people? We could learn from lazy people. What's the least amount of effort that I could do to make the most of this time? Going back to my rosary instead of praying 4, 5, 6 rosaries a day because maybe I don't have the time to? How do I have that set up? In that short amount of time, that 30 minutes, I pray the most amount because of the number of people that I have gathered. We have 300 people or so that join, and because of the rule of communal prayer, I gain the merit of 300 rosaries. So instead of spending the time of praying 300 rosaries, I make the least amount of effort and gain the most amount of benefit. Work smarter and holier, not harder and lowlier. Learn from the nerds who use technology to expand the way that they use time. For most of us, we experience technology as something that robs us of time. God has given us technology to increase the way that we use our time. Let me give you an example from my own life. Before, Catholic speakers would go and they would take all this time to travel, to fly, to go somewhere, to give a talk to maybe 500 people. And I, from the comfort of my own home, record videos that are watched by 5,000, 10,000 people, 15,000 people. I use the technology to do as much good as possible without having to leave and go to all these different places, and the technology becomes a benefit to me. How can you use technology to increase the way in which you use your time better? We can also learn from rich people. Rich people become rich through passive income. Regular people work and work and make money. Rich people also do that, but they have employees that work for them. And then they have investments. Then those investments work for them. So how can you gain passive spiritual income? Again, I'm going to tell you from my own personal experience. I can go and pray, but if I make a video telling people to pray, and those people are praying without me doing anything, I'm gaining merit. I'm helping people. I'm changing the world by things that I recorded 6 months ago. They're still impacting people. This is why you should consider, for instance, writing a spiritual book, having your own YouTube channel, or even when you go and tell someone, hey, pray the rosary, hey, go to church. That has a trickle effect that will affect the world even after the moment where you told them the good thing. Lastly, learn from football players. One time I had the privilege of going behind the scenes of how they prepare for their future games. How do they do that? They look of all their recorded past games and look at all their mistakes, and they study them and study them and study them and think, how can I play better? How can I do that play better? How can I do this move? What do we do wrong here? We should do the same with the way that we use our time. Look back at the past week in your prayer. How did I use this week poorly? How can I improve it? Look back at the past to learn from your mistakes and constantly improve how you're using your time so that each week that you get, it's a better week and you continue improving until it becomes fully perfected. My friends, our time, especially of this year, is now up. Use yours well. God bless you, and I will see you in the next one.